Racism has been justified by its practitioners by any number of ideas, but perhaps the most provocative arguments cited by bigots to justify their views are those supposedly contained in the Bible. For centuries, a passage from the Good Book has been used to explain the inferiority of African people and to rationalize their enslavement. In his new book, The Curse of Ham, Race and Slavery in Early Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, academic David Goldenberg looks critically at the story in the Old Testament about Noah's son. He says its misinterpretation over the years has had a brutal effect on black people everywhere. Joining us now to help lift the curse of Ham is David Goldenberg. David, nice to have you on the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let me start by asking you to explain briefly the passage in question here from the Old Testament and what the curse of Ham is exactly.
Sure. The Old Testament passage concerns Noah. After coming out of the ark, after the flood, he planted a vineyard, got drunk, fell asleep, and one of his sons, Ham, came in and saw him naked on the bed. He went out and told his brothers. His brothers came in, his two brothers, Shem and Japhet, came in and covered him. Now, when Noah woke up, he knew what his son had done to him, and he cursed, but he didn't curse Ham. He cursed Ham's son, Canaan, and the curse was one of eternal slavery. Now, despite what it says in the Bible that it was Canaan who was cursed with slavery, people have over the centuries believed that this passage meant to curse the black African with eternal slavery. And that is the curse of Ham, the belief that the Bible or God meant to curse the black African with eternal slavery.
This is a loaded question. Let me ask you, though, why you would then write a book like this. What did you find in your research here?
I wrote a book like this because I was curious to know how this interpretation ever came about. It's not in the Bible at all. Mm-hmm. In this passage, there's nothing of color. There's nothing of black Africans. There is slavery, but that's all there is, and it's on the Canaanites. So I was curious to know, how did this come about? I mean, we know that, for example, in antebellum America, the single most dominant justification for black slavery was this curse of Ham idea. Mm-hmm. This maintained the social structure. But how did it come about? That's why I went into this research, to look at this issue. And what I found was very interesting. I found that, in fact, it's based on a misinterpretation, a misunderstanding. It was assumed in antebellum America, and way before then, it was assumed that the name Ham is based on a Hebrew root or a Semitic root, meaning black or dark. And so when there's a curse of slavery on Ham's descendants, it must have meant the black African. But in fact, I found that the name Ham has nothing to do with the word black or with the meaning dark. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. But it was assumed that it was once the black in time became associated with slavery. Then the two ideas were brought together, this linguistic misunderstanding, Ham meaning dark and black, together with the social environment in which blacks were becoming more identified with slavery. And then when the two ideas were brought together, we have the development of a curse of Ham idea, which is basically to maintain the social structure.
How does a misinterpretation, I guess, of the gospel become gospel?
Well, it's not the gospel. It's the Old Testament, as you said earlier. And the misinterpretation came about because it's a technical matter. It has to do with some linguistic confusion of the word Ham and what the initial letter of that word means. But the point is that the Bible is constantly interpreted over and over and over again through centuries. As you know, people turn to the Bible to justify just about anything. And here was a passage which, through misinterpretation, could be used to justify black enslavement. And as soon as that came into the foreground, that idea, it was grabbed onto. Mm-hmm. Because it did maintain, justify, and legalize, with divine warrant, black slavery.
Let me ask whether or not these cultures around the world who have for centuries past chosen to enslave Africans, did these cultures choose to enslave Africans and then dig out this as a justification, or the other way around? I guess what I'm asking is, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Okay, well, that's the head of the nail. This is exactly one of the conclusions that I came to, which is that the curse of Ham grew out of an environment in which the black was enslaved. It wasn't the other way around. Mm-hmm. That environment brought it about. And by the way, Tavis, I'll mention that this curse of Ham is not the only misunderstanding in the Bible or use of the Bible to justify a condition for black African slaver or other. In my book, there's another chapter which deals with the curse of Cain. Mm. There was another belief in antebellum America, and it goes back a good 1,000 years, that Cain, the first murderer in history, Cain killed Abel, his brother, that Cain turned black. This was the mark of Cain that the Bible talks about, a punishment for killing his brother. And again, this is based on misinterpretation, misunderstanding of a translation of the Bible, but it was used to maintain and justify a social structure in which blacks were enslaved.
How does the curse of Ham relate both historically and contemporarily to the relationship among Jews, Muslims, and Christians, and their relationship then to people of African descent?
Well, that's a good question, and I suppose you're asking about the situation today, how it relates to people today. And I really don't go into that. I'm a historian of late antiquity and ancient times, but I can say this. I initially went into this line of research because about 13 years ago, people brought to my attention a claim which was being made in among some scholars that we find anti-black sentiment in early Jewish literature. So I began to investigate that. And one thing led to another, and this book is one of the results of that. But I found that it's not true. What I did was I explored every reference to black Africans as far back as I could go, and I found there was no anti-black sentiment. On the contrary, in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, there's a very positive attitude toward the black African. I mean, you know that in the book of Numbers, there's a short story about Moses having a Cushite wife, which is usually translated an Ethiopian wife. Now, whether that Cushite is meant to be black African or not, and it's debated among the among Bible scholars. The point is that in Jewish literature of late antiquity and the rabbinic period, it was often understood to mean that Moses married a black African. And you know what? No one objected. No one cared, and everybody was fine with it.
Let me close with this question then. Beyond slavery and racism, what do you think is the legacy of this so-called curse of Ham, and what difference do you hope that this book will make with regard to that legacy?
Well, the legacy is obvious. It has had a very negative, deleterious history. As we said, this has been the justification for enslaving blacks for centuries and centuries and centuries. I trace it back, 1,600 years. And what I hope this book will do is show that this interpretation is false. It's based on a misunderstanding, and it grows out of an environment which seeks to maintain the inferior position of blacks. And it's wrong. And I hope that would be the legacy of the book.
David Goldenberg is a visiting scholar at the University of Pennsylvania. He's author of The Curse of Ham, Race and Slavery in Early Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Join us today from Audio Post, Philadelphia, in the city of brotherly love. David, nice to talk to you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tavis.